I'm Zach.
And I'm Josh.
And this is Lamp Stomp, a Pixar podcast. Josh, we are back.
Zach, it's Pixar time.
After not being Pixar time for quite some time, we are incredibly sorry that this has happened. So we've not had a podcast.
Is the pun intended?
Did I say incredibly? Yes. Then so no, it wasn't. But yes. So we haven't had a podcast in over a month. And the last podcast that we had was with Dane, not even with you. And so it's been like almost a month and a half since there has been a review podcast since we did Coco. And so we were just wanting Coco to marinate a little bit. It was our new number one. We just wanted it to sit there for a while.
And I just was like, I was a little nervous. Like, what if Incredibles 2 dethrones it so quick?
It might be
a little bit too sarcastic. It's a good movie. I don't think it could dethrone it. But
no. No. And so, but realistically, life is obviously a thing. And so life kind of got in the way this last month. Not in a bad way. We've just been both super busy. Josh has been going to school, been working his job, announced that he's having another kid, went to Disney World, like all the things that you do. I'm got two jobs, and going to school and being a new dad as well. And so there's just a lot, you know. And after my thoughts on The Incredibles, I was not very much looking forward to Incredibles 2, if I'm being honest. And so yeah, that probably led to it a little bit as well. And so, all right, Josh, let's go ahead and jump into Incredibles 2. But before we do that, I have a question for you. And it's more like a statement that I want you to react to. Josh, you went to Disney World. Talk about some Pixar things that you enjoyed at Disney World, or just general thoughts about Disney World this last week or whenever y'all went.
Zach, Disney World's a wonderful place.
Happiest place on earth, some may say.
Happiest place on earth, for sure. And it is fun as an adult. It's incredible going with a kid. My family didn't go a ton when I was younger. I went a few times, but I remember when I married Hunter. It's a part of their family's Thanksgiving tradition. So I went and I got to experience Disney in the way that they do it, which is like they've been doing it for years. They're efficient. They get the fast passes and the right rides at the right times. They get I've experienced Disney that way, and it's fun. I got to ride a bunch of the rides, and this time, was it a different beast or what? Oh my goodness. Taking a 1-year-old was nothing like that. It was, how do I fit in a nap time while my child is more engaged in her surroundings than she's ever been in her entire life? But it was also super exciting because she was a different kid by the end of the week. She learned so much. She became so much more social. She knew how to wave before we went there, but when we came back, she waves at every stranger she ever sees because she knows they might wave back at her. It's fine. So she does it. She points and waves. At the very beginning, she obviously hated lines. We never really waited long, but she could not stand to wait. But by the end, if she had to sit in like a 10-15 minute line, she was actually kind of fine because she realized what was going on. Like she'd be looking to try to find the ride where she could sit in it, and she loved pointing at the characters, and it was so much fun.
That's awesome.
Definitely very different, but it was awesome to see her constantly just staring around, pointing, looking at things, waving. She loves Mickey Mouse Clubhouse more than anything. So she went crazy for every parade where she could see the characters. It was so much fun. And Pixar wise, Toy Story World is unbelievably
beautiful. It's on another level.
Yeah, it's so much fun, and it was even more amazing bringing my daughter, because she was also like looking at everything in awe and was excited by it, and it was more like kid focused. And yeah, they also have a new Ratatouille ride, so the line for that was very fun and themed. And overall, I mean, it was a really great time.
That's awesome, man. That's really cool. I need you to just start talking to Carly about how awesome it is for a 1-year-old to go, so that maybe I can go back to Disney World soon when Emery gets to be one. All right, Josh, why don't we just go ahead and hop into our Remember Me section. Remember me. Even though I'm sure you'll talk about it in just a few minutes, but even though the movie picks up 15 years after the original film, where the movie picks up exactly where the last one left off. The Pars are at Dash's like track meet or whatever, and the Underminer starts attacking the city. And so there's this awesome scene where they're trying to save the city from the Underminer, and they are all working together, and it's kind of a really cool scene. They're just all in it together. And so they fight with him. They go after him. He's trying to steal all the money from the bank, and they're trying to take his little digger thing and point it in different directions so that it doesn't go after buildings. And they're all working together, and it's really cool. However, there are some kind of frustrations from the family, because one of them is having to watch Jack at all time, because he's still a baby and he doesn't have any powers. And so they're making sure they're taking care of Jack, and none of them wants to do it because they all want to be a part of the action. And so they pass him around as they do different things. And so inevitably it gets to where the Underminer is trying to escape, but his big drill thing is going towards City Hall. And so they are trying to stop it from going to City Hall. And it's the family, and it's Frozone is helping as well. And they finally get it to just barely be able to hit City Hall. I think it messes up the clock at City Hall. And they're like, yes, we did it. It's awesome. And their happiness is almost immediately taken down, because they start to get taken by the cops, and they are quote unquote arrested. And so they are taken in by the cops, and it's this very sad thing. However, what the Pars didn't know, the Incredibles didn't know, is that Frozone was approached by this guy who has some superhero jobs. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. But while the Par adults are at the cops, the people are basically saying, like, the money was insured. Had you literally done nothing, the city would have been better off, because all of these things wouldn't have been destroyed. The overpass wouldn't have been destroyed. City Hall wouldn't have been destroyed. Like, all of these things would have been so much better had you just not done anything. And so it basically, they ran these ad campaigns on like different TV networks that, like, superheroes are bad, they are awful, look what they did to the city. And it's just this awful thing where superheroes are not looked at good anymore again. And so the family has to be staying at a hotel, and everyone's frustrated, everyone's awful. And Violet goes and tells her dad that something might have happened, Dad. This boy that I was going to go out on a date with, he saw me without my mask when I was doing some superhero things. And so the guy, the dad, Bob, tells Rick Dicker, about that. And the movie actually opens with him erasing the kid's memory. And so we'll get back to that in a few minutes as well. And so they're at the hotel, they're talking, they're like, what are we going to do? Like, should I get a job? Should you get a job? Like, what are we going to do until we can get out of this hotel, or until we can do what's next? And then Frozone kind of pulls in and is like, hey, I got this call from this guy, and he wants to meet with us. It's a guy who likes supers, and he wants to meet with us, and he's got a job for us. And so Bob convinces Mrs. Incredible to go, and they go to this meeting, and they meet with this guy named Winston Dever, and his sister Evelyn. And so they run this like media telecommunications giant dev tech. They kind of run this big thing, and they are trying to basically get superheroes back in the good eye of the people. Their dad was someone who loved superheroes and wanted to be friends with superheroes. He even had like a phone direct line to superheroes because he was so important. But unfortunately his dad passed away. And so they are wanting to kind of, basically the dad passed away because about the time that they were making superheroes illegal, that no one wanted to answer the call because they were making superheroes illegal and no one could come help him when someone broke into his house. And so, after much talking, basically they formulate a plan that Mrs. Incredible is actually going to be the face of DevTech and making the superheroes cool again. And so Bob is frustrated about that. And so basically Winston offers them this big house so that they don't have to stay in the hotel anymore. And so Elastigirl takes the job, and her first mission is to stop a like runaway train. And so she does that, and it's this really cool action scene and all of this, all the while Bob is at home trying to take care of the rest of the family. And there's a lot of things that's going wrong. There is a lot of things that just did not work out quite as well as what he had hoped. Jack-Jack is kind of a crazy little kid, and so there's a million things going on with him. Dash is having to do math, and math has changed since Bob did it back in his day. And Violet was all ready for her date with a little kid, with Tony, I think is his name, and was all ready for the date. But because Dicker erased the memory, he forgot to come. He even forgot who she was. And so he kind of set her up. Not intentionally, but he kind of set her up. And so all of this is happening, and it's just this crazy, just this crazy little thing. And so at the end of the commuter train, when Elastigirl is saving the train, she notices that the reason that the train was run away is because the conductor had actually been staring at a screen that basically hypnotized him. It was this weird thing. And so she thought that was a little weird. And so she was going to continue to just kind of monitor that situation. And then the next thing that she gets to do is basically I don't know what she was, an ambassador, I guess she was. They were attempting to assassinate an ambassador. And so she is going from like helicopter to helicopter to save this ambassador. And all the while she finds out that once again, the screen slaver was causing the screen to be like this weird thing and hypnotizing people to do what they want. And so it was this after this and just all of these crazy, crazy things. And so, they're trying to figure out how to arrest the screen slaver, to capture the screen slaver, because he controls so many different screens and causes people to be hypnotized and just causes all of these awful things. And so they get this idea that they are going to like basically triangulate so that they can figure out where the signal is coming from the screen slaver. And they go after the screen slaver, and she finally finds him, and there's this big, awesome, crazy fight, and it's really, really cool. But when they get down to the bottom, and the screen slaver is getting arrested, they pull the mask off, and it's just this pizza delivery guy. And she kind of thinks that's weird, but they arrest the guy, and they don't really know what's going on, and it's kind of this weird thing. But yeah, it's just kind of this weird thing. And so they feel like they've won, and so after they finally arrest Screen Slaver, Winston announces that he is going to have a summit of the world's leaders, and they are going to all legalize superheroes together. And they're going to do this on this big yacht that that they have. And so while announcing that, he also introduces Mrs. Incredible to a whole bunch of really weird and cool superheroes. I'm trying to find all their names. I wonder if they're here. I think there's Void. Yeah, I think
not get their names, but I think I could get most of their superpowers.
Yeah, so there's Void, there's Crusher, there's Helectrix, there's Reflux, and I think that might be it. There was one that was an owl that I don't see on this list right here, but
Screech.
Is Screech.
That might not be his name, but that's what we can call him.
Yeah, the guy that looked like an owl. And so she meets all these people, and Void specifically thanked her for being kind of like an inspiration to her, and really was kind of nice to her. And so Void could make like little portals and send things through them. Crusher, as you might be able to guess, could crush things. Helectrix could basically do like static electricity and like control electricity, I guess. Reflux is like an old guy who could basically like spit hot lava from his mouth, which is really weird. And the owl could basically scream really loud is kind of what that one was as well. And so she meets all of these, and so it's getting closer to the time of the big party, and she's having a conversation with Evelyn, the sister, and she's like, it just doesn't make sense. Like, that guy doesn't seem like the guy that could have been Screenslaver, and so she's trying to figure out, like, well, who could actually be the Screenslaver, and while she's kind of talking things out of nowhere, Evelyn slaps a pair of goggles over her eyes, and we see that she is the Screenslaver. Evelyn is the Screenslaver. This whole time, the sister was the bad guy, and it kind of somewhat came out of nowhere and was this cool, crazy thing. And so it was kind of surprising, but that is how that goes. And so she's talking to Mrs. Incredible, and she basically puts her in like this like cryogenic cold thing. I don't know. Basically, if she tried to get out of it, she would break, because when she stretched, the coldness would definitely break her. And so she basically gets all of these hypnotic goggles that she gives to all of the superheroes, and she tricks Bob by calling him and saying, Miss Incredible's in trouble. I need you to come here as soon as you can. And so Bob leaves the kids, calls Lucius to come over and watch the kids. But while Bob is gone, all of those superheroes that we mentioned come, and you can tell they are all wearing the mask, the goggles. And so there's this big fight scene at the house. And Dash calls in the Incredible, or is it the Incredimobile? It's the Incredibill, right? I think it's the Incredibill.
I would probably guess Incredibill, but I don't really know.
I can't remember what it was. Anyway, so they go after the kids, and there's this big fight scene in the house. It's pretty cool, and the kids finally escape, but the bad thing is that they get some goggles on Lucius, and so it's literally just the kids against the world. It's Jack, Violet and Dash against the world. And so they get to the boat.
Jack in this whole time.
Yeah, it's so good. I forgot to mention the part about Jack where he's starting to get powers, and so I forgot that whole kind of story, because it's not exactly my favorite story about Bob not being able to do very well with the kids' responsibilities. Anyway, they take him to Edna Mode, and Jack gets some a suit so that he can kind of control his powers a little bit. We can talk more about those powers in a little bit. I forgot to talk about those. But anyway, and so they get to the boat, and all of the superheroes, except for Jack, except for Dash, and except for Violet, are basically being controlled by the Screenslaver. And so, but no one else really knows that. And so they're going after each other. And I can't remember who was the first to get their goggles knocked off. I think it might be Mrs. Incredible. And so basically they fight to get all the goggles off. And eventually they do get all of the goggles off, and they're like, okay, we need to get down because the boat is actually going towards the city and is going to like just crash into the city with all of the representatives on it, and it's going to be this terrible, terrible thing. And so they all start to work together to get this to get the boat to stop. Bob is under the water trying to move the rudder. Frozone is out on the outside, like putting ice in. Dash is going to be the one to get his dad back up out of the water. And Violet actually volunteers to watch Jack-Jack while all this is going on, which shows a moment of growth for her. And I didn't text this to you, Josh, but if I did text this to you, that would have been the moment that I texted it to you, because a tear did well up in my eye. It didn't fall, so I wasn't like crying, but I definitely got a little bit emotional when Violet was like, I'll watch Jack-Jack. It's what needs to happen. And I don't know, just showing that responsibility from her kind of made me cry just a little bit. Anyway, and so they do all that, and Mrs. Incredible is actually up on the plane because Evelyn tried to escape, and so she's getting her and not letting her escape. And so eventually it happens. They get it. They redirect the boat. Everything ends up happy. They are making superheroes legal, and it's this really cool thing. And the movie ends with Violet inviting Tony on a date. And they go to the movie. They're going with the Pars, which is kind of funny. But as they are going to the movies, this car drives by and it goes bang, 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 bang. And they're like shooting and all this crazy stuff. And basically Violet drops Tony off and says, I'll be right back. And they go off and it looks like they are fighting crime. And that is Incredibles 2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good job.
Yeah.
Oh man, dude. I really enjoyed most of this movie, if I'm being completely honest.
Yeah.
There's a lot of really great stuff in it. Incredibles 2 had a budget of $200 million. Dude, it grossed $1.2 billion worldwide.
Oh!
It was like $600 million just in the U.S., but it was $1.2 billion with a B worldwide. That's wild to me. It currently has a score of 93. For critics on Rotten Tomatoes and an 84 for the audience score.
Okay.
So it seems like based on that, it seems like it was accepted critically pretty well, but it didn't really win any awards. It won a couple of Annies, a couple other ones not really worth noting.
You know,
it won some stuff, but it. Go ahead.
You know what movie it lost out to, right?
No.
Maybe the best non-Pixar animated movie ever. In my opinion.
Man, what?
Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. That movie won all the awards that year.
Okay. Because I looked, I was like, it wasn't even in the same year as another Pixar movie.
No, it wasn't.
Sense. It was Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
So that, yeah.
That movie was.
It didn't even look like it was nominated for most of the things that it normally gets nominated for.
Right, right, right.
Just it was so blown out of the water.
For sure.
So Brad Bird directed, wrote, he was all...
And was also Edna Mode again.
Of course, has to be. So he had been toying around with the idea of a sequel pretty much from the time the first one came out. You can kind of tell with the way they left it off. They left it, it could easily come as into a sequel. And so he'd been toying around with it. People asked him questions a lot, especially after I think he did Ratatouille. I think it was after Ratatouille that people were asking a lot about an incredible sequel. And obviously the past 15 years have been nothing but superhero movie after superhero movie, where you have 1 to 4 superhero movies coming out every year.
Right.
So he said when he was asked, he would say like, it's a very saturated market, and if I want to do it, I really love the idea. I love the characters of the world. I think about it all the time. But if I do it, I want to make sure, like, I would definitely want to keep like some characters. Like, I don't want to do origin stories. Like, I want to also keep it very focused on family and how superpowers and heroes fit into that, like we did with the first, not like a big superhero movie.
Yeah.
That you see like a Marvel movie. So that was something that was really important to him. And you see it very evident in this movie. He's still stuck to how does the family dynamic still affect, but also a world with superheroes. So it was very interesting. So that's some of the stuff I got on that. Do you have anything that you want to add?
I don't think so. That was good. Why don't we move on to making our mark?
You've got to earn your mark by doing something big for something bigger than yourself. Someday you'll all make your mark, and I can't wait to see it.
I'm so excited to dig into this movie with you. So why don't we start with general attraction? What do you have for general attraction?
Oh, 10, like to a T. Like it's easily 100% a 10. I even debated doing the thing I hate most in the world and giving it an 11 because I wanted this movie so badly. I remember like when the video game came out, I'm not a video game person, never was. But when the video game came out, I remember being like, does that mean that sequel's coming? Like, I love this movie. I love the first movie growing up, and I waited for this movie for 15 years. Like, I was so ready for it.
Yeah, for sure. I also gave it a 10. It had been 15 years since the first movie came out. So the thought of what happened after Incredibles was a really cool one. And the fact that they picked up kind of right where they left off is cool too. Back then I was really hyped. I wasn't super hyped now, but I think in general attraction, as far as being attracted to the movie when it initially came out, it was 100% a 10. So.
Yeah.
All right. I read my 7 as I was saying plot. I gave plot a 7, if you would believe it or not. It's early. Plot, I gave it a 7. Okay, so honestly, I think the Elastigirl stuff is really good. Like, her part of this story is a lot of fun. Like, it, her being the superhero and not really wanting to be the superhero, and then just her being able to figure out the screenslaver stuff. But in a lot of real ways, and it's maybe, I don't know, it's less so this time, but the Bob stuff is just so frustrating to me again. Being a dad now, like, I hate the trope in movies of dads not being able to function for like a week. Like, I understand that my wife does more than I can even express as far as it goes with the baby and cleaning the house and different stuff like that. But to show that, like, he is just completely inept, showing that he has not helped at all with any of the kids' stuff, is just so frustrating for him. And it's like, I hate that trope in movies because it happens so much. And then just him doubting his wife and being like, oh, but I should be the person that's doing it. I don't know. The Elastigirl stuff is really cool, and I like that part of the story. The Bob stuff is frustrating again, but I think Bob actually has a better path towards like realizing he was wrong and that in this movie. So I gave it a 7.
Huh. I like your thought process. I like your reasoning. I'm going to do something kind of like what you did for the first Incredibles with characters. I'm going to split this in half.
Okay.
I'm going to give this movie like a kind of like a first half of the movie and a second half of the movie. So like the first half of the movie and all of the idea behind that, where it is the superheroes are illegal, but we want to make them legal. We've got this rich guy who absolutely loves superheroes, who's gonna like fund it, who's got an idea, he's got plans for how he's gonna make it happen. And then all of a sudden there's this villain who's taking people captive by screens, and he can control people through their screens. And their screens everywhere. You realize how often we're staring at screens, how easily you can be captivated. Like, it's
right.
That's all like super engaging. I really like the Bob stuff at home, if I'm being honest. Like, there's times where like at different points since Addie's been born, like, Hunter wouldn't be able to do stuff, so I would like take on everything. And I know that feeling of being like, oh my gosh, I just got hit with a ton of bricks. And
yeah.
But then when Bob twists and he is like super dad and does everything perfectly, it's like I know that feeling where it's like I feel like I don't know, there's so much going on, I don't know how to get control over all of it. But then all of a sudden it's like, all right, I'm gonna buckle down, I'm just gonna figure it all out, I'm just gonna do it, it's easy enough. And then I do. And that feeling of like the back and forth, like all of that is perfect. Like, I love the way that I love Bob and the family. I love the baby getting superpowers and him being like, what is going on with this baby? Because I also feel sometimes like, what is going on with this baby?
and yours isn't shooting lasers out of her eyes.
Yeah, she's not doing that, so that makes my life a little bit easier. But
So I love all of that. It's perfect. Like the first half, perfect. It's 5 out of 5. Perfect. Second half, like you figure out that Evelyn is the villain and her reasoning for it. And that all of the people, all of the leaders in the world are suddenly for no reason wanting to make superheroes legal again, even though there's been no evidence for it to actually be really beneficial. I mean, Elastigirl saved a group of people once without a ton of damage one time, but like there's years of superheroes destroying stuff and then put infrastructure in place so that way these things don't have to be solved with superheroes. It's better if they just don't get involved and we just let things play out. Everything in the like second half in my mind is probably more like the last like 30 minutes of the movie. It makes zero sense. I don't like it at all. I hate the way it played out, and it puts a very sour taste in my mouth for the movie as a whole. Even though the movie as a whole is good, but that the way they built it up so well, they had this great thing, and then it felt like it just got deflated and it just didn't follow through in a way that was actually like that made sense and that made you like agree with like the reasoning behind why people do things. Like it just all felt like it just could have been something great and it didn't get to that. Does that make sense?
It does.
So I give that all a 1. So total, I give the plot a 6.
Ooh, yikes.
I was thinking 5, but then I was like, that might be a little bit too harsh. I would give it a 6. That still feels like it might be a little too generous. The plot of it, I feel like this movie could, I had such high hopes for it that it feels like I was let down dramatically by it.
All right, Josh, what do you have for themes?
For themes, I have an 8. So I like the themes of the movie, where it's family focused is always, it's clearly something that was very important to Brad Bird. The way that the family kind of like functions, learning for especially Bob, learning more like how Elastigirl is not only as capable as him, but more capable in many ways.
Yeah.
And he is clearly like needing to be brought down a few pegs.
So 7 is what I gave themes. Kind of the same reasons. Family is obviously at the forefront, but that's really the only one that kind of sticks out to me. And it really didn't stick out to me as much as it did in the first one. It wasn't something that kind of like punched me in the face as some themes can. And so that's why I gave it a 7. All right. Animation. I gave animation a 10. This movie looks beautiful. The humans, they do humans so well now. And it's just like the movie looks so good. All the powers look really cool. I just think there's a lot that they do really good in this movie. And I did laugh at the amount of times that humans interacted with water because they didn't do it very well in the first one, but now they are realizing, oh, we got this now, because there's like scenes where Dash goes into the water, Bob falls into the water, different humans out of the helicopters fall in the water, and it's just like there's so many different scenes of people interacting with water because they didn't do it very well in the first one, and so they did it well in this one, and I think just everything looks really pretty.
Yeah, 100%. It's a 10. It is everything that the other movie could do, and then some. It's everything is nailed, and even Brad Bird said in some interviews that this time around it wasn't a question of like, oh, you're wanting to do something we don't even know how to do yet. He's like, they knew how to do hair. They knew how to do long hair. They knew how to do wet hair. They knew how to do muscles. They knew how to do different movements. Like, it wasn't a question of, like, how can we even do this? The technology was clearly in place, and it was able to be done really well.
Right.
So, and that shows. Everything's really beautiful. The world looks incredible. The people and the mechanics and the way things interact with each other is couldn't have been better.
Yeah, for sure. So animation is top notch on this one. Pixar got really good at their animation, and it's going to show over the next few movies as well, I think. All right. Voice acting. What do you have for voice acting?
For voice acting, I give it a 10. I love all the characters. They all do a really great job. All of the people they brought back obviously still solidified in their roles. But I also really love the new characters that they brought in. I especially love they brought in two actors from Breaking Bad, and I really love Breaking Bad. So like the voices are they're very familiar, and it's a and it brings back fun memories of that show for me. So it, the characters and their voices really fit well. The characters play their roles really well. It was really funny. What's the agent's name? You said it earlier.
Dicker.
Yeah, I was able to remember it earlier. Now I can't. Couldn't. Anyways, it was really funny. I was hearing his voice, and I was like, I know that voice. Where do I know that voice? I refuse to Google it. I'm gonna figure this out. And every time like he would talk, I'd be like, it sounds so much like Eeyore, but it's not Eeyore. I know that's not where I know it from. And then at the very end, like very end, I remembered. I was like, oh, it's because he's from Breaking Bad. And then I like when I was reading up a little bit more, I realized the reason I thought he sounded like Eeyore is because the previous guy who's Eeyore.
Gotcha.
So the first Dicker was literally the same voice as Eeyore. This one wasn't, but he has a very similar voice to him, obviously. So
yeah. All right, so, I gave it.
What did you get it?
I gave it a 9. I'll look back at the other Incredibles score, and I gave that one a 9. And so, a lot of the same goodness from the last one kind of reappears in this one. Nothing really stood out to me. And so it kind of lands at the same spot as last time, which is still pretty good. And so I gave it a 9. All right, Josh, John Ratzenberger quiz. I'm sure you've got this one.
Oh, he's the Underminer.
The Underminer. I don't know why it's really fun to say it like that all every time. And so, yes, it is the Underminer. All right, soundtrack. I gave it a 7. I like the superhero music. I like what it does. It's simple. It works for the movie, but would never listen to it in my car. And that's kind of the gauge that I go off of. And so, not a lot to it. I know it's your boy Michael Giacchino, but it nothing really stands out to me super like a whole lot. So that's just a 7's not a bad score, but it's not a solid score either. So.
Yeah, no, I agree. I've got 8. Same reason. It's bopping. It's good. It fits, but it's not something that you'd listen to on a regular basis. It's pretty much what all Giacchinos are. They fit their movie, they fit their show, whatever. They fit it perfectly, but it's not really a listen to on your own. They definitely don't have any of like the big emotional songs that Randy Newman does really well.
Yeah, for sure. All right. What do you have for characters?
For characters, I gave it a 9 because I love all of the characters 100% except for Evelyn Devers. I love them all. They all do what you want them to do really well. I love the growth that we see for Elastigirl, for Mr. Incredible. I like the kids get a little bit more personality and screen time, I feel like. So I overall really love it. I like new characters that they bring in as well. I like one of the new characters, and I like all the other superheroes that they introduced as well. They were fun and exciting additions
for sure. I gave it an 8. If you remember,
you gave the other one like a 4 or 5.
It was like a 6, I think, which wasn't bad because I gave each of the Incredibles a 2, and then I gave Mr. Incredible a -1, so that brought or a -2 or so. I don't remember what it was. It was a really bad score, but I gave this one an 8 because I really do think that all the characters get pretty decent moments. The kids get their chance to shine. The kids are spot on in this movie. I think that this is their best movie, in my opinion. Elastigirl gets her chance to shine and kind of be at the forefront, which is cool. And Bob was the reason that I got frustrated in the last one. And so him kind of taking a step back, maybe was good in my opinion, for the characters. And so that is why I gave it an 8.
Yeah, dude.
All right.
It's a great score.
Humor. I gave it a 5. This movie is not really that funny, in my opinion. The things that were supposed to be funny were just kind of annoying to me. The scenes with Mr. Incredible, like, I don't know, it just kind of just didn't hit the mark for me. It's not necessarily, that doesn't even make it necessarily a bad movie, but just the humor was not on point for me. the only time that I laughed out loud was the scene when they were on the boat. Mr. Incredible and most of the other heroes were already out of the screenslaver's control, but he was going through and the Crusher starts crushing all these pipes on Mr. Incredible, and then they fight, and like he finally knocks the goggles off of the Crusher, and he's like, okay, now I need to get through here, like uncrush these things. And the Crusher's like, uncrush? What do you mean uncrush? I wouldn't make you unpunch somebody. Like, this is what I do. I crush. I don't uncrush. And so that was kind of funny to me, but there was really not a whole lot that was funny, in my opinion.
That's funny. I give it a 7. There's not like, it's not like, there's not a lot of like jokes, but there's a lot of like funny moments. And I love all of the Jack Jack stuff. Jack Jack on the boat is incredibly hilarious to me. Jack Jack fighting the raccoon is so funny to me. And so I think I'm going with a 7 on that.
Cool. All right. Easter eggs. What'd you find for Easter eggs?
Probably like I have something written. I don't know that I fully agree with it, but I'll go with it. I've got 7 written. And I'll stick with that. They're not that impressive. There's not a ton. You get some of the usuals, but I mean, I wasn't like blown away by them.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot there, in my opinion. A couple of things that I found was the A113 on the movie theater at the end. There were a few of the TV shows that they were watching are actual TV shows, like actual episodes of actual cartoons that Dash and Jack-Jack were watching, which I thought was kind of cool. And so there's a couple of real world things that kind of made their way in. But other than that, there's really not a whole lot there. So I gave it a 6. Yeah, all right.
That's fair.
Ending. I feel like we are going to have vastly different opinions on the ending from your conversation so far. I can take out the realisticness at times that you can't. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm glad we have both opinions. I loved the ending to this movie. In fact, I loved it so much that I gave it a 10. Which is going to be surprising to you, I'm sure. I love the fact that the screenslaver was able to control the heroes, and just that concept. I haven't really seen that in a like a superhero movie, like someone's kind of taken over the superheroes, and so they are like, they look like themselves, but they're acting upon someone else. There's actually a Marvel, I think it's called Secret Wars or something like that, where basically these things called like Scree, I think, I don't really know it that well, but basically they can shapeshift and they shapeshift into the Marvel superheroes and hide the real ones. And so it's like actual, not real people that are going out into the world and doing weird things as the superheroes. And so it's that kind of concept is really cool to me. And so the way that they did that was pretty cool in this movie. I thought they were able to take people that you knew and people that you liked and kind of turn them scary for a minute. And that is just a really cool, different thing that I did not expect the first time I went to watch that movie. And so I enjoyed the ending. And so that is why I gave it a 10.
I didn't give it as bad of a score as you'd think.
That's good.
I give it a 7.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm focusing on the whole fight. And I am ignoring the frustration I have with the situation. Not entirely. I mean, it's not a very good score, and I really do like the whole fight. The obvious frustration that I have is I don't get why, for no reason, leaders are suddenly like, let's make superheroes legal again.
Right.
And I also like think that so that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. I don't really get, like, it's not a great mechanism, like, as a supervillain to just be like, we're going to have these people, the heroes are going to then cause this big, huge scene, kill a lot of people, and it's going to make sure the superheroes are illegal forever.
when everybody knows that the supervillain is controlling people through mind control.
Right.
Like, you could put two and two together and then your goal doesn't work. Like, you just, people would be like, well, what if they were just being control of the screenslaver? Like, maybe they were still good and they weren't. And the way that they talk when they're in control of the screenslaver, where it's like, and we're just mad at you now, so we are going to kill everyone because we've had to hide. It's like, I think anybody watching that would be like, I don't think that she's actually saying that. So there's that part of it. That's what takes away only three, because I'm focusing more on the whole fight scene of the superheroes fighting each other, trying to get the masks off. That's all really fun. It's fun watching a bunch of different superpowers interacting with each other,
working together,
working against each other. That's really enjoyable. And the powers they had were so diverse and weird. So it's really interesting to see it. They didn't go just like, she can fly, she can read minds,
yeah,
he can teleport. Like, it's more interesting than most like superhero fight. Like, if you look at maybe a similar like idea or fight scene would be like in Civil War when all the superheroes are fighting each other.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so you take that, but then you add really unique powers into it and it gets really interesting. So I really enjoyed all of that. I enjoyed them stopping the boat. And so, I mean, it was really fun to watch, and I like the kids' interactions inside of it. Jack accidentally destroying a bunch of stuff, trying just to get to his mom. Like, I enjoyed it. I had a fun time watching it. It loses a few points because of the frustrations I have with the other stuff, but it's still, I think it still warrants a 7.
Awesome, man. All right, so if we add up all of our scores, I'm on the wrong screen. So if we add up all our scores, that leaves Josh with an 82 and me with a 79. So we're not too far off there. That averages out to an 80.5. And so so that's a fairly decent score for this movie. It's not necessarily what I thought. I was kind of dreading it after my scores from the first one, and not really excited about doing this movie for whatever reason. But actually rewatching it has got me excited for The Incredibles, and that's kind of a cool thing. And what's kind of funny about my score is that my score for Incredibles 2 is the exact same as Incredibles. And so if I were to go and watch one of these movies again, I never would have thought this, but I would actually pick Incredibles 2 over The Incredibles, in my opinion, just because it's an easier watch. And I never would have imagined that would have been true for me. But I think as of now, that's true for me.
Wow, that's interesting. I would not have guessed that either. I wouldn't agree. I would rather one, but I get why you would prefer two. So that's interesting.
And so I looked up your score. You had an 87 for Incredibles 1 and 82. And so there was a obviously clear jump for you, but for me, it was the exact same. And so,
yeah,
which is interesting. All right, Josh. And so Incredibles comes in at number 13 on our list. We're getting to the point to where even a good movie can kind of make its way down onto our list. And so let me kind of go over our list one more time. It's been a while. And so we have Coco at 1, Inside Out, Toy Story 3, Up, Toy Story 2, Nemo, Monsters, Inc., Toy Story, Cars 3, Cars 2, or no, sorry, not Cars 2, Cars, Incredibles, Monsters University, Incredibles 2, WALL-E, Ratatouille, Brave, Good Dinosaur, Bug's Life, Finding Dory, Cars 2. And so that's kind of where we land with 4 movies to go.
Wow, that's crazy. I'm very happy with this list. I agree with it pretty well.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what our list is going to be after these next 4 movies. And so we're nearing the end of our making our mark. And so all right, Josh, why don't we go ahead and move on to Woody's Roundup?
Woody's Roundup. Just like in the first movie, doesn't get like crazy amount of screen time, but his character's so much fun.
Yep. And
I can't help but love him more than anything. It's still Dash.
Oh, okay. Dash. Okay.
It's still Dash. Who did you think?
I'll tell you in just a second. When you said him, that's where I went off. So go ahead.
Okay. It's Dash
for me. Okay. Gotcha. Dash. For exactly the same reasons, but instead of he, she, it's Edna Mode for me. She is the most fun. Just her character is so good to me. And it's just so, oh, it's just so good because she's so worried about being the exclusive designer for the Incredibles and Frozone. And she just makes the Jack-Jack. She keeps it, him overnight and just connects with him. And it's just so good. And so Edna Mode for me.
Yeah, that's a great one. That's a great one.
Yeah. All right, Josh, who is your least favorite character?
It's Evelyn.
Yeah. I'm sure it's Evelyn. Same here. What are your reasonings?
So for me, it's like she doesn't make sense as the villain. I get why she doesn't like superheroes, but it doesn't make sense why she would feel like she needs to create this whole persona and evil persona that would need to keep superheroes illegal. Like everybody dislikes superheroes. That's the public opinion. Yeah. You're in the vast majority. I understand that her brother is trying to make them legal and she might be concerned that he might succeed, but I don't think that it warrants this big of an ordeal. The Screenslaver itself is super cool, but the way that it's her and the motivations feel kind of like they don't live up to like the coolness of the villain, if that makes sense.
It does.
So like, her being the villain was super surprising, but mostly because it just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. I kind of agree with what you said. The Screenslaver part is really cool. Like, I love what the Screenslaver is able to do, like controlling people using their screens. That's kind of like just a good topic of discussion. Like, now that we're so entrenched in our screens, like if a supervillain wanted to control people, their screens would be the way to do it. And so that concept is really cool. She's able to use the tech in that way, but just when it's her and just her, like you said, her motivation, it just doesn't seem right in some ways, and it just seems a little off. And so in a lot of ways, her persona is cooler than she is, and so that's why she was my least favorite. All right, why don't we move on to 22?
It is an honor having you prepare 22 for Earth.
I'm going to make you wish you never died.
Coming off the tail of that last comment that we both kind of felt the same way about Screenslaver, though, a really cool villain. It's clear that they didn't have a very good way to make Screenslaver have a good actual like person who was Screenslaver that would be interesting. In a way that works really well. So what my question is what like Incredibles 2 like villain is there somebody that you would rather see as the villain? Or is there a different like plot that you would have preferred that this movie take? Because it doesn't quite, I feel like it doesn't, for me, it doesn't quite live up to what I would have liked for it to have done. And I have had different ideas over the past 15 years of what I think that the supervillain should be.
So are you saying like someone,
if you have any as well,
someone in universe that would have been the supervillain, or just like,
yes,
my fan fiction, kind of like you wrote at the end the last Incredibles
or one. or like a different way of telling the story. So maybe not picking up where they left off, maybe not even having this family be a part of it. Like, is there something that you wish they had done differently in terms of that?
Incredibles wasn't as high on my list, so it wasn't something that I was like sitting on the edge of my seat waiting for, and so I don't know that I've ever come up with anything that I thought might would work. I'm willing I'm excited to hear what you have to say, and maybe that might spark something within me. What do you have?
I don't know if I ever talked about this in the previous one or with you in general. So there's like a few different ideas that I had that this movie might be about before any like trailers. And My first one was going to be, I assumed they were going to keep everything in universe and within a family, but I thought it was going to be a lot later. And I thought they might make one of the kids be a villain. And personally, I would have loved if they had made like Dash the villain, like make it 15 years later. And superheroes have been illegal this whole time. And Dash has just gotten really bitter about it. And he's really frustrated, and he kind of just goes off the wire, and his family's like trying to like rein him back in.
It's interesting. No, and I
think I discussed this in the other one. Maybe a Jack gets kidnapped and becomes like the henchman of a supervillain. That we did talk about that one.
We did. I said that was extremely fanficky, and I'm being honest. The Dash one does kind of seem that way too.
loved it.
I don't think that I spent a whole lot of time thinking through possibilities. And honestly, that's not even really how I view movies in general. I love the fact that I am this kind of person. If I think that I'm going to enjoy a movie, most of the times I'm going to go in and I'm going to enjoy that movie. Just because like I'm setting my expectations that I'm going to enjoy it. Now, if it just stinks, then that's a different story. But like I can look past basic flaws to just kind of enjoy what I'm doing. I can do that in movies. I can do that in TV shows. I can do that in video games. I can do all that. It doesn't bother me. Josh, there were some different superheroes in this movie, and some of them had some weird superpowers. Mainly, I'm thinking Reflux. What is the worst functional superpower that you could think of?
Exact Change Man. Where when you are at a gas station or a store and you're trying to pay and you just don't have quite enough change, he shows up with exactly the right amount of change.
Oh man, that would be helpful. The fact that I would not have to walk out to my car, do the walk of shame to get that penny or dime or nickel that I forgot, that would be
I don't know where that came from, but that's what I've got for you. What about you, Zach?
Oh man, I can't, like, you've got to set the bar high. Like I always think through, and this really doesn't answer my question, but it's okay because I'm going to take the conversation this way anyway. I always think through different superpowers that would like make you be a villain. Like if you had the superpower that you could cause people to have rashes, you can't be a superhero with that power. You have to be a villain.
Reflux is like that, dude. He's nothing but destruction. He can't do anything helpful with that.
That's a good point, actually. And so, Rash Man. That's gonna be mine.
Not even like he can heal your rash.
No, he can only cause them. Like, if you're Rash Man, like you have to have like a lotion, like applier. I don't even know, like a lotion gun or something to help people out, or I don't know. It's weird. All right, Josh, what's your second thing? This conversation has kind of went off the rails.
It's a fun topic of discussion. It's come up. Who do you think owned the home that the Pars got to stay in before Devers bought it? He said it was a rich, eccentric billionaire who wanted to come and go as he pleased. And I've heard a theory, and I have another additional theory to it, and I'm curious if you've thought of it at all.
I have not. I'd love to hear your theories.
So the one that I heard online is that it was a home owned by Syndrome.
Okay.
Rich, eccentric billionaire.
Yeah.
All kinds of really impressive, like, structural movement.
Yeah.
Especially using water to hide things, so it was very similar. I also kind of, like, got the feeling watching it that it was like almost, it could have been any one of, like, that it would have had to have been, if it wasn't Syndrome, it would have had to have been one of the superheroes, like,
yeah.
Because it seems like they've got this like Batman, Batcave kind of feel to it. So I don't know. I'm not familiar enough with the superheroes that were around when they that all got killed by the Omnidroid. I think I probably should like sat down and looked at some of them to come up with an idea of who. But if not Syndrome, then one of them would be my guess.
Okay, here's my really wrong and really funny thing that just popped in my head.
Okay.
Marvel is getting ready to do like a whole bunch of multiverse stuff. And so live with me for a second in the fact that Pixar has a multiverse, okay?
Okay.
The Incredibles happens in a multiverse where Al actually does sell the toys to the Japanese museum, and that's Al's house.
Oh, okay.
All right. 100% not correct, but that was the first thing that popped in my head, so there you go.
All right, I like it. That's Al's house from selling the toys.
Yes.
That's funny.
All right, here's my second one. If superpowers were real, superheroes are real, and you lived in a city that was constantly destroyed, just like Municipal is, which side of the argument would you be on?
Didn't realize that the place was called Municipal. That's hilarious.
Yeah, it is.
Dude, I'd hate it.
Yeah.
I would hate superheroes. I am a like type A structure rule following person. So like if you're I don't understand how for a second Bob can think that he was helpful at the beginning of the movie. Like obviously you should have done nothing. If you, even if you capture him, at what cost? How many lives did you put in danger? Are you even sure you didn't kill anyone? Like,
Josh,
sure,
would be.
I would be like, supers should be illegal. And I'd be like, go find some like field somewhere to go practice your superhero stuff. Just don't do it here. Like, you're just causing problems.
It's kind of funny that like supervillains only pop up in universes where superheroes are there. Like, we don't have people that are like making huge like drills that just pop up out of the ground and can go and destroy buildings anywhere. Like, those the kind of things only happen in worlds where superheroes are readily available to stop them.
That's so funny.
All right,
probably
Josh,
because we have militaries that could stop them.
Right. All right, Josh, why don't we move on to our core memories?
But the really important ones are over here. I don't want to get too technical, but these are called core memories.
All right, Josh, my core memory for this movie is actually the screenslaver fight scene. When they're in the room and the outside of the whole entire room that they're fighting in is like the hypnotic whatever. And they're just fighting. And I just think that's a really cool fight scene for a cartoon movie. It really does kind of is cool to me. And the movie actually has some pretty good action beats. And then to find out, and there's this big reveal and you're really excited and it's just some guy, he's a pizza guy, is kind of a really cool part of the story. And it kind of makes me question what's coming next. And so, the screen slaver fight scene is definitely it for me.
Great choice. You picked the one that caused them to make movie theaters have warnings for people with epilepsy.
Right.
That's a great scene. And it is a great moment in it because you feel so excited for the fact that they just caught the screenslaver. And then you're like, no, they didn't. That can't be right.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great job. It was a great moment in the movie. You're not going to like my answer.
I
you're
can't
gonna really dislike my answer. I love, mine's not a specific scene, but it's actually two, I don't remember exactly how far apart they are, but it's two scenes that kind of go together, and it's Bob totally screwing up with a family, then paired with Bob freaking nailing it with a family.
Yeah.
It kind of happens, and I think I mentioned it, it kind of happens in my life at times where, like, I start getting, like, bogged down by just a bunch of stuff, and like the house starts to get to be this like big mess, and I'm like, oh my goodness, there's so much to do, I don't even know how I can handle all of this. And like the next day I wake up and I'm like, I'm just gonna do all of it right now. And then I do, and then it's all done. And it's like,
yeah, oh, I can definitely empathize with that.
So that is the Bob Parr family stuff. I don't even have kids at that age yet, but I get there's so much of it that was like, I can relate to parts of that. And there's other parts that were like, oh, I can really relate to that. So I really enjoyed it.
Cool. That's awesome, man. All right. That's Incredibles 2, man. I definitely think it was better than I remember it being. It's better than I thought it was going to be. And so I thought this was a really cool conversation that we were able to have today.
Yeah, man. I thoroughly enjoyed it. It's a good movie. There's parts of it that I'm like, ah, I wish it had been something else. But overall, it is a really good movie.
For sure. All right, man. What is up next on the docket for us?
Word next is Onward.
Nope. No,
I'm just kidding. Next is Toy Story 4. but we have a joke in my family that Toy Story 4 doesn't exist. So we just skip over it.
I am excited to talk about this movie. It's something
to watch it again. I hope that I like it more.
Me too, actually. I hope that as well. I'm excited to dig into it. And so being able to talk it over with you will be therapeutic, if nothing else. and so, yes, Toy Story 4 is next. And then after that, we're to every movie that Pixar has put out after COVID. Isn't that kind of crazy to think about? which is kind of scary in a lot of ways. And so we are nearing the end. We do want to apologize again for not kind of putting out a podcast for over a month. But life gets in the way. We have kind of made somewhat of a plan to try and still finish before the end of the year. That was our ultimate goal at the beginning of the year when we first started. And so it would be kind of cool if we could finish that. And we will do our best to do that as well. And so get excited for these last four. We're in the final four, which is exciting. So Josh, anything else?
That's it for me.
All right. Tell the people where they can find us.
You can find us on the internet.
Just type in lamp stomp.
And you can Google us, or you can find us on Instagram and Twitter, and maybe not Twitter, Instagram and Facebook, and you can email us at lampstomp@gmail.com.
Yes, you can Bing us, you can Ask Jeeves us, you can Google us, you can Ask Jeeves was like a million years ago. You can Yahoo us, you can but for real, you can find us on anywhere that you can listen to podcasts. If you listen on Apple Podcasts, it would mean a lot to us if you would give us a 5-star review and leave a comment. That would be really cool. Actually, I want to say that if you leave us a comment on Apple Podcasts, we will read it on the podcast. How do you feel about that? How about that? So starting next week, for Toy Story 4, so go ahead and get that in. As soon as you listen to this one, go ahead and type it up. And for the next 4 podcasts, if you leave us a 5-star review, we will read it on the podcast if it's appropriate. With that, this has been Lamp Stomp. Peace out. See you for Toy Story 4.